Welcome to the King's Anywhere podcast, inspirational teaching, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, whenever you're ready.
Okay, so this morning we are going to read the Bible together. So that'll be good, won't it? So we're going to explore some of Acts this morning to really see how we can encounter Jesus here and now today for us. But I just wanted to start by reminding you that 2 weeks ago, John Mark was preaching here, and he shared some really good stuff about God being good and about his design being good. I don't know if you guys remember, it was 2 weeks ago, you might have slept a few times since then, but what he shared was really good, and I would encourage you, if you didn't hear it, to go back and listen again. He was talking about how we have all been created by God and for God. And he was saying that we are good. God created us and said, you're good. And he used a word, tov, that's basically, it's good because it's designed for a purpose. We're doing what, is this right, John Mark? That we're living, if we're doing what God created us for, that is tov, that is very, very good. It's what God, oh, good, tick from the teacher. So we were designed, the purpose we were designed for was encounter with God. So we're going to think today about how we can live into the tov of God's design, the goodness of God's design, which is for us to encounter him, which is beautiful, really. If that's all we've got to do, what an incredible life we get to live, where we get to just encounter God and be impacted by him. There's no striving in that, is there? So I just want to reassure you today, there's no striving. Let's just chill. Let's just go, like we're in the midst, aren't we, of all the chaos of Christmas. And for me, I'm a mum and I've got a to-do list and I've got, you know, all the shopping things and decorating things and, you know, this, that and the other. Do you know what, today, let's just relax. Because God has created us. He's designed us. He gets it. We just need to rest at his feet and say, Lord, just teach me. So Holy Spirit, we just say this morning, we're just coming before you. We're going to rest at your feet. We want to hear your voice. God, would you guide us back into that place of encounter? Thank you, Lord, we don't have to strive. Thank you, we don't have to create an atmosphere or create anything that's not real. Thank you, God, that it's just all about you and all about us together. Amen. Okay, so we're going to start off by having a little reminder of Acts 3, and then we're going to go forward into Acts 4. Okay, so if you've got a Bible, open it up at Acts 3, and you will see Peter and John. They have just experienced Pentecost. So Pentecost was when all the believers were gathered together, the Holy Spirit was poured out on them, things shook. People spoke in tongues. There was incredible things going on. And guess what? The word of God, the gospel was declared and thousands of people got saved. Isn't that incredible? The day of Pentecost was amazing. And then we come into Acts 3 and Peter and John are still empowered by the Holy Spirit. It hasn't gone away because they've left the church service. They are still empowered by the Holy Spirit. So as they're going about their normal life, they encounter somebody in need and they speak the power of Jesus over that person and he's healed, incredibly healed. And this is a guy who was older. He's about my age. But for those times he was older, he'd lived his whole life with this infirmity, this problem. And everybody knew him. Everybody knew him. And God did a miracle. Isn't that incredible? And then the Holy Spirit's still at work in Peter and John. And Peter starts to talk and he's saying, you know, this is amazing. Look, guys, look, everybody who can see this guy getting healed. This is what it's about. It's about Jesus. It's about the power of the resurrection. Yes, we might have been involved. You know, you guys might have contributed to some issues here. But you know what? The power of God is at work. And so Peter was speaking boldly. So exciting. It's exciting until we hit chapter 4. Okay, so flip forward into chapter 4. To be honest, it's still exciting. But Peter and John hit a big challenge here Because as they are declaring boldly the word of God, some of the people, some of the power base of that society are listening and they're saying, nah, this is not going to go well for us. We don't really like this, what's happening here right now. But guess what? They also saw the healing. They couldn't deny that healing, could they? But they were saying, we don't like that Peter here is talking about Jesus being resurrected. We don't like the idea that Peter here is talking about a future hope for us to be resurrected. This was a big sticking point for the people, the power base, because some of them were part of the Sadducees, and this was a group of people who had clung on to an old way of thinking that resurrection wasn't real. So this used to be quite a dominant viewpoint, and then as time moved on, people understood scripture, they understood the prophecy of Daniel, and they understood that, yeah, you know, God has designed that we are to be raised with him. You know, there's a future hope of glory with Jesus. So by this point, you know, the community got that, but the Sadducees had held on to this idea that the resurrection wasn't real. So when Peter was talking about the resurrection, they were going, no, we have to stop this now. Okay, so this is where we come to. So we're going to read verse 7 to 12 of Acts 4. If I can find it, there we go. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. By what power or what name did you do this? So they're not disputing the this. They're not disputing the healing. They're just saying, by what power did you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. He's not giving up on the resurrection thing here, is he? That this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be held, by which we must be saved. Okay, so Peter is stood here before people with power, and he is not backing down. He's not giving up. He's staying true to what he knows about God. He knows God is the only way. He knows that Jesus being resurrected is the only power which is going to bring healing to people and ultimately salvation. And I love that he quotes this scripture, the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. You know, Jesus used that scripture. Twice through the Gospels, you see that Jesus used that scripture. And I love that Peter is imitating Jesus here. He's learned from the master. He knows what to say because he's watched Jesus, he's listened, and he is imitating. That's discipleship. So as we are disciples, we need to be learning what Jesus says and imitating, just as Peter does, because it holds power, especially when he uses scripture. Scripture is powerful. Now, we can see that Peter was bold. So it says in verse 8, I think, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them. Now, Peter was bold because he was filled with the Holy Spirit. He wasn't always bold. Peter's had some ups and downs. He's had some ups and downs, but he is now standing there filled with the Holy Spirit, and he is not backing down. He's not denying Jesus. He's not denying what Jesus has done. He is being bold only because of the Holy Spirit at work in him. Isn't that amazing? He gets to rest in the knowledge that God's good and the Holy Spirit is empowering him for mission. Beautiful. And it shows us that we can encounter God in that way today. So if we are filled with the Holy Spirit and we have the Word of God at our fingertips, we get to experience God in exactly the same way Peter did. There's no difference. We get to hear through the Bible what Jesus said and did, who God is, his goodness, his mercy, his grace, his power. And we get to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that is where the boldness comes from. That is where we get the power to speak and not back down, even in the most challenging situations. So it's the Holy Spirit that empowers us for mission and for ministry, for walking out our daily lives with God in all the promises that he has for us. Okay, so let's just have a look at verse 13. Okay, verse 13 says, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Okay, so they didn't have the knowledge themselves. These guys were not like experts. They hadn't studied for years. They weren't super clever, but they had been with Jesus. They'd watched him. They'd watched him, how he cared for people, how he was motivated by compassion and love. He didn't try and stir up arguments. He didn't try and stir up confusion. He cut through all of that with truth and compassion. They watched him all the way through his ministry time. And they had been with him. They'd heard his teaching. They'd also seen the way that he would take himself off and pray and have quiet times. And so they were able to stand here changed in a way that everybody could see it. They could just see it. There's no hiding an encounter with Jesus. Because when we've been changed, it's a change that is deep. And it comes out. You can see it on your face. I don't know if you've ever had this where you're out and about and you meet somebody and you just know they're a Christian. You're just like, you know Jesus, don't you? Phil had that at work. He was on he works from home and he was in a meeting on his computer. And he said he was chatting away to this person and he just knew that they were a Christian. He just knew. And this was a workplace and it really was inappropriate. But he said halfway through the meeting, I'm sorry, but are you a Christian? And I'm like, yeah, are you a Christian? Yeah. Turns out that they were, they knew each other through people. But I just love that when you encounter Jesus, people can tell. People can tell because it changes things. It changes the way that you walk. You walk with compassion and you can walk with ease because you're not striving. You're not trying to be something that everybody's telling you you've got to be. You've just got to be you. God's made you, you. Live into the you-ness that God has made you to be because it's beautiful. We're meant to be a rainbow, aren't we? We're meant to be who God has made us to be. It's living into who we would be if Jesus was living our lives. Is that the phrase? There we go. So when we encounter Jesus and we're transformed, we live into who we are, where God has put us in his freedom. So just chill. Just chill. Can you tell I've been a bit stressed recently? Just chill. Okay. So, yeah. So how do we encounter Jesus today? Well, it's through the Word of God, isn't it? We get to walk with Jesus by knowing the Bible. It's really important. Really important because there's so much misinformation out there. There's so many lies and nonsense. There's so many sort of like catchphrases that people use, I can't even think of any now. You'll probably think of some catchphrases that almost sound like they're from the Bible, but they're really, really not. So if we don't know the Bible, we're going to be easily distracted to sort of different ways of thinking that traps us actually in thinking that all the strength has got to come from us instead of from him. So let's focus on knowing the Bible. That is how we encounter God. It's one of the most powerful ways that we encounter God. And what a blessing that is. We can also encounter God through prayer, can't we? It's amazing. On Friday night, we've all not been very well recently, and my car broke. So me and Phil had to share the prayer night on Friday night. So Phil came for the first half, I came for the second half. But by the time Phil came home with the car, I was curled up on the sofa with a nice blanket and a hot chocolate. I didn't really fancy coming back out to a prayer night. But I got in the car and I came down with my big hoodie on and I was all like, oh, cozy. And I wasn't really in the zone of prayer night. I wasn't in the prayer night zone. But I sat down and, you know, sat down into a place where people had been praying for 2 hours. And the presence of God was there and just started praying. And God just stirs the word of God out of you. He just moves as you pray. So as we position ourselves, even if we think we're only half there, God is all in. He's the 100% partner here. So we just need to position ourselves to him. Open our hearts to prayer, and we encounter him in an amazing way, which is great. So we're going to see how the believers prayed now, because, you know, when Peter and John had to stand before these powerful people, it was a high priest, right? They had to go to court. They were stood in front of a high priest and like 70 elders. It was fairly intense, shall we say. And they were having to justify themselves. And God was really moving in the midst of all of this, you know. And, you know, Peter was being, he was filled with the Spirit. They were talking confidently. They were released ultimately because the high priest, they couldn't deny the healing that had happened. Okay, they couldn't deny that. Their main concern was that they wanted to shut them up. They wanted them to stop talking about Jesus and the resurrection. And Peter just said, look, to be honest, I'm not going to stop because it's right that I speak about these things. And they were sent away because they couldn't decide how to punish them. Now, when they left, it says, I love this verse. I think it's verse 32, 20. No, where are we? Yeah, verse 23. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people. Their own people. I love that. You're my own people. If I was them and I'd been to court, shut your face, Mike. and I came back to my own people. That's you. Okay, we're our own people. Now, they came back to their own people and told them everything that had happened. I have to be really honest, right? If Darren and Jackie had just gone off on a day out, they'd gone up to the Lake District for a chill, right? And they'd happened to encounter somebody who needed healing, they'd prayed for them, they'd been healed, and then they'd been taken off to court, and had to stand in court and justify their actions, and they'd been given a really hard time, and then they come into church on Sunday and say, guess what, guys? This happened. I'd be right, I want names, I want addresses, I want a write-up, a detailed write-up of exactly what happened. I am not happy with this. I'm going to be phoning people. I'm going to be dealing with this. This is not okay. Not my Darren and Jackie. That is not all right, okay? That's not how their people reacted, because they're much wiser than me. Okay, so what they did is they prayed. And they prayed in a way that was so powerful, because they started with God. They didn't do what I would do, starting with, right, who needs to get dealt with here, right? They started with, God, you are sovereign. You are Lord. You're above it all, basically, they're saying. You're above it all. You've rescued them. They focused on the goodness of God, the power of God. They took it to him because ultimately that is where their strength comes from. See, we so quickly take our eyes off that and think we've got to solve all these problems and do all this stuff. No, we have to pray. We have to remember it's him. It's only him that can sort this stuff out. My obnoxious challenges can't really sort anything out. Only God. Only God. So this is how they pray. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. They prayed a kingdom prayer, okay? They pretty much prayed, your kingdom come, your will be done. They said, this is you, God. This is who you are, and it's what you've done. They remembered, it's what he's done. This is who God is about. And God, we want your kingdom to come. So God, we put this situation in your hands. They weren't praying for comfort, if you know. They weren't saying, can you make sure that Peter and John don't get hassled anymore? What they prayed for was that the gospel would be preached. They prayed for protection for the gospel, not for comfort. See, that is a kingdom-minded people. They're not saying, our little group. They're saying, let your word go forth. They're not saying, in the way that we find comfortable. They're saying, this is, you are sovereign. Your ways will follow you. It's a kingdom-minded prayer. And I wonder what happened. Verse 31. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were all filled, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and spoke the word of God boldly. So he did what they asked. He did it straight away. He shook that place. It's a replay, isn't it? It's a reminder of Pentecost. So when God initially poured out the Holy Spirit, things shook. People spoke boldly. Well, here he's doing it again. So he's saying, this isn't a one-time thing, guys. I'm here. I'm moving. Put your mind to the kingdom of God. Seek after my will, and I will move amongst your people. And we still get to do that today. Right here and now, we get to choose to not contend for our own comfort and our own way of doing things, but to seek his will first, to glorify him and seek his kingdom. And we get to be part of the shaken people of God who are filled with his spirit and speak boldly the gospel. That's exciting. That's pretty good. We get to be chilled out and powerful. Quite like that combination. So in the last little section of this chapter, we see more of a replay of Pentecost. I think probably one of the most powerful outworkings of the Holy Spirit. Because people be crazy, don't we? We all love to we kind of get distracted by keeping everything, you know, our plans, our comfort, our stuff we've worked for, our idea of justice. But this is what happened in verse 32. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions were their own, but they shared everything that they had with great power. The apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's grace was so powerfully at work in all of them that there was no needy person among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. Not it was given to a particular person because I quite like them. It's anybody who had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, good name, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. Now, I don't know about anybody else in here. I don't have any fields that I can sell. I don't really have land I could sell. But we all have, we've all been blessed with time. We've all been blessed with heart. Some of us have been blessed with money and provision. And what we need to be thinking is, as the Holy Spirit moves us, are we clinging on to everything that we have control on? Or are we going open-handed and say, God, your kingdom come. That means whatever I have is yours. Whatever I have is for your kingdom. So the time, my planner, my daily chart of what I'm going to do exactly when, that's going to go to you, God. You know, my purse is going to go to you, God. The way I parent my children is going to go to you, God. The way I work, the way I decide to work or not to work, that's going to you, God. You know, all of this. And God very rarely tells us to walk away from jobs or to walk away from, you know, to be homeless, for example, sell your house and have nothing. God wants his people to be provided for. That's exactly what we're seeing here. He doesn't want poverty for people. He wants a people who are provided for and equipped to go and share the gospel. It's about seeing the bigger picture. Are we focused on our own comfort, or are we focused on the kingdom of God coming in this place now? And you see, that's the beauty of encounter with God. It's not a moment. The day of Pentecost was not just for a moment. It was repeated. And every day we get to encounter God in a way that transforms our mindset, transforms the way we choose to live. And there's joy in it. He doesn't want to stir our hearts and say, right, Sarah, I want you to sacrifice all your time, and I want you to spend all your time doing something you hate. God doesn't do that. He's about joy. He's about peace. He's about freedom. So when we go open-handed to God and say, God, I want to encounter you, and I want to just hold my hands out to you, he just picks us up and loves us. And he says, thank you. You know, I love being with you, and here is all I've created you to be and the fullness of life that I've blessed you with. So it's a beautiful thing. Can involve sacrifice, but it's a beautiful thing that we get to step into. In fact, it is John Mark's message from 2 weeks ago. It's the purpose. It's the purpose that we're created for, is to be in that freedom with God, to just say, God, I'm going to walk through the garden with you. I'm going to walk through this life with you, and I want to be in your presence. I want to be in your step. I want to be in your blessings. And I want to live each step with you. And there's real fruit to that. There's real fruit to that heart, that positioning of ourselves. There's the fruit of the Spirit, which is partly why the disciples, when Peter and John were before the powerful people, they were like, oh, we can see you've been with Jesus, because they were living out fruit of that encounter. So when we have this mindset, we will start to see that fruit in our lives. Now, in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14, it says, you guys all know this, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. You guys know that? Yeah? Now, it's a work of the Holy Spirit to unify people, his people, okay? So when I said before about their people, like, you're my people, that's a work of the Holy Spirit to unify us together. Because until we come into the presence of God together and worship him together, we're individuals going about our lives. But it's the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. That means the fellowship with the Holy Spirit, us encountering the Holy Spirit, but together, encountering God together. And I think, you know, when the believers started to pray, they all lifted their voices together in prayer. It's that powerful collective unity of the people of God coming together to encounter God together. That's very different, and it's very significant, because it can then direct a people of God into his path. So I want to encourage you today that you can absolutely encounter God on your own in your secret place, and it can be incredible and powerful. But there is absolute purpose in us coming together, seeking God together and encountering him together, because he can speak collectively. That can bring us encouragement, it can bring us unity, and it can give us collective direction. We know where we're going, and we know why we're going there, because God's spoken to all of us. So I want to encourage you that in the opportunities that you have to be together and pray, do it. So things like missional community, things like prayer night, things like coming to celebration. You know, whenever you get an opportunity to be together, do it and take the opportunity to pray. You know, lift your voices together. Like when Gareth was leading worship before and he said, like, let's raise our voices together. It feels weird, doesn't it? I love doing it. And even so, I'm like under my breath, thank you, Jesus. Because it feels a bit weird doing it, but it's powerful when we do. Which is probably why we feel weird about it. Because it's not, we're in a battle. We're in a battle. And part of the way that we battle is through the power of the Holy Spirit. Raise our voices together. It's breakthrough. It's a breakthrough. Let's do it. So more of that. More of that. Now, I said before, we get to chill, don't we? We just get to rest. And when we were worshipping, there was a verse that came to mind. I just want to read this out because it links with the word that Sam brought about royalty. So Psalm 100, I'll read the whole thing. Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Now, we are the children of the King. You guys know that, right? We are children of the King. That means when we go to worship the King, we don't go in all like, oh, sorry, can we come in? We come in like, Dad, I'm coming into your room and I'm dancing and I'm laughing and I'm being myself. I'm relaxed. I'm worshiping you. I think you're amazing. But I'm coming in happy, joyful, dancing. I don't know why I did that. That's not how I normally dance. But, you know, when we come to encounter Jesus, it doesn't have to be like a woe is me moment. You know, sometimes he might stir us where we've got to ask for forgiveness or something. That's fine. But, you know, we get to come to encounter with a big smile on our face and a skip in our feet. It's fun. Nothing wrong with that at all. It's not disrespectful to God to come happy, laughing and joyful into his presence. That's what he tells us to do. Come in, dance before me. I love being with my children. And isn't it amazing that we get to be with our Father God like that? It's beautiful.
We hope you enjoyed this message. To find out more about King's Church Warrington, visit our website or find us on Facebook and Instagram.